Let me do a quick review. We're in this series called The Blessed Life. I'm going to go back about 3 weeks, but I'm going to make it very quick. Amen? Amen. Somebody's happy about that. It's good to see y'all smile. Last week we talked about tithing. That's a fun subject for pastors to talk about. It was an awesome day. It was an awesome response. I'll just say that. Again, I don't know who gives what. I don't know. I haven't gone there. I actually wanted to preach this series before I kind of went there and knew what the patterns of giving were. I was told that we probably had some new people that began to respond to tithing. So awesome for you. Thank the Lord for your ownership in the vision, but also in your response to the word of the Lord. I think there's a couple dynamics that are happening. I want to encourage you. Just try it. This is going to seem really shallow, but it's the word of the Lord. God said, test me. So try it. Just try it. Test him and see if he's not faithful. Last week, we talked about tithing as a test. We said that it was a heart test. This is just by way of review so I can get you up to speed. Tithing is a heart test. We know that the word tithe really means tenth. And so, or 10%, and we know that the number 10 often through scripture, when you see it, you find that it's testing involved. And we talked about how many commandments were there. There were 10. How many plagues? How many disciples? Some of you said 10. Hey, you know what? It's okay, because we all make those mistakes. A couple of weeks ago, I stood up here and I made Matthew a fisherman. And, I'm just glad I wasn't preaching on something like, you know, the doctrine of the Trinity and blew that, you know, but I apologize to you. As soon as someone came to me and told me about that, I was like, oh, I knew it. Tax collector, Rick, tax collector. He had to have. He took his tax collections and he bought him a bass boat. Okay, that's really liberty with scripture there. I'm just kidding on that, so I apologize. But, yeah, there were 12 disciples, and we do know that. But tithing means tenth. And so tithing is a test. It is a heart test. It's a test of our heart. We talked about tithing being biblical. We looked at some passages in Genesis 14 and Genesis 28 and Deuteronomy 26 and Matthew 23. We talked about tithing is a benefit. It blesses God's people. Tithing blesses God's people and it brings provision into God's house. We talked about the heaps we're stored up. And then the fourth point that I made last week is tithing is an expression of love and commitment. When I tithe, I'm expressing my love and commitment to the Father. I'm actually, well, the week before that, in week number two, we talked about the heart of the matter. We talked about some hearts that we needed to deal with. We needed to deal with the selfish heart. We needed to deal with the grieving heart. Selfish is easy. We all know that one, right? The grieving heart, just by way of recap, that's the one that gets us. It's like, you know, we just received a special offering for this team going to Bangladesh. And so this week, you know, you may be tempted to say, well, I want to go to the movies or I need to, you know, fix this on my car or whatever. And then you're like, oh man, but I put that offering in there. And so then you begin to grieve the thing that the Lord wants to bless. And there's a problem in that. We need to deal with that. And then the other two things that we talked about is we need to develop a generous heart and we need to develop a grateful heart. And then back in week one, we just talked about the principle of the first, that the firstborn either must be sacrificed or redeemed, that the first fruits must be offered, and that the tithe must be first. So this week, this is going to be a fun message. Again, I'm going to teach a little bit. We're going to talk about breaking the spirit of mammon. So let's read some scripture. Luke chapter 16 verse 9 says this, use your worldly resources to benefit others and to make friends. If you have a New King James version, it says unrighteous mammon for worldly resources. Then when your earthly possessions are gone, everybody say then. Yeah. Okay, because they're going away, right? Then when they're gone, they will welcome you to an eternal home. Verse 10, if you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in the large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. And if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? Two more verses. And if you are not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with the things of your own? No one. Everybody say no one. That means everybody, right? No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now, I don't really like, well, that's true. Money, that word right there, money. Let's go to the New King James Version and read it, because that's actually kind of what I want to dwell on for a little bit. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So, it's okay. I mean, the translator in the first version that I read, which is the New Living Translation, I think the NIV even says money. A lot of translations will say wealth or riches. So the question is, what is mammon? Mammon is an Aramaic word, and it basically means that, wealth or riches or profit. But Jesus, in this dialogue, one of the commentaries that I read, I love what he said. It said Jesus sees this as an egocentric covetousness. That's a mouthful of words that if I were trying to say really fast would look really ugly probably. Jesus sees this mammon or this finance or this wealth as egocentric. We know what that means, right? It's all about me, right? Covetousness. We're going to talk about covetousness in a minute. So in other words, you could say this, and you guys know this, you know it's true. A lot of times when you own something, it actually owns you, doesn't it? We have this obsession, this desire, because, and you know, Ben actually talked about this a few weeks ago, and probably first week I think I was preaching, and it was such a beautiful illustration. He made the point. He said, you know, I just thought if we could get the house, and but then there's always something more. And we're all like that, okay? I'm not throwing my brother under the bus. He already crawled under it for me. I just kidding. Just kidding. We do this. We get this idea in our mind that if I could just get this, or if I could just do that, if in other words, it begins to form in our heart this thing called idolatry. So what is mammon? Mammon is wealth. Is it rich? It's riches. So is mammon equal to money? No. Robert Morris, and again, I'm teaching a lot of his book, he talks about how money has a spirit resting on it. I don't have any money with me. Johnny, you got that? Johnny's gone. Man, you got some money? I do have money. It's just in my wallet. Yeah, that's good. That's why. Here, we'll just work with 50. Yeah, I'm going to give you the $8 back. That's what I just did. It's a pretty good exchange rate right there. Y'all ever, you did that? Like, never mind. All I've got is $10. Can I have your 20? I'll give you my 10. So Robert talks about in his book, he talks about how money can have a spirit resting on it. Money can have a spirit resting on it. It either has the spirit of mammon or it has the spirit of God. Now what makes it have the spirit of God? Let's go back to the first week. Because the first always redeems the rest. Right? The firstborn, the first fruits, it always redeems the rest of the offering. So you struggle with that and read between the lines of what I'm saying. But I'll just say it. When we give first, when we respond in obedience, the Spirit of God rests on it. I don't do financial, like stock market or anything like that. I've got a little bit of investment money. Okay. It's not a lot, but last year, in the last 2 or 3 years, I've seen it multiply, which is a good sign. I want it to grow. I don't want it to shrink, right? And I'm not, the only reason why I say that is just because I believe that because I give to God first and I give the tithe and we give offerings above that, I believe His Spirit is resting on that, causing growth, causing increase. And so, you know, have you ever met people? Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, guys. The offering today was $759, so praise God. Thank you. Brother, I needed you a minute ago. I was looking for $100. So, you know, it's what rests on your finances? Is it the spirit of mammon or is it the spirit of God? Well, a lot of that depends on what you do first. First, how do you handle the first? Money, this money, understand this, this money is neutral. It's neutral. There's no power in this money. There's no authority in this money. I mean, it does have, you know, I'll have that problem. You know, it's got the United States backed by the Treasury Department of the United States of America. We know that, okay? But in and of itself, it's just a 10 and two 20s. It's impotent. It's just a receptacle for either goods or services. This money is neutral. But what I do with the first part of this money determines how the rest of it ends up. And we all know that God owns it all, right? Right? Let's see. Boy, you got your keys on you. Look right there, brother. Boyd's got a work truck out there. He's got a couple keys. Is that your work truck key right there? I figured it was. It's what? The big one's Karen's? Oh, the other one. Okay, so this is the key to the dually, right? It's a dually? Yeah. So this is the key to the dually. So thank you, Boyd. I appreciate you giving this to me. The key's already in it. I didn't even need it. Anybody else? Nobody leave early, okay? You know, ultimately, this thing belongs to him. But here's the deal, you know. I'm feeling generous today. So, boy, I want to give you a dually. I'm giving, no payment book. I'm giving this to you. See how generous I am? The problem with that scenario is it wasn't mine to give. Do we see that? Because it belonged to him already. So a lot of times we're just giving something back that don't really belong to us. Maybe you've heard this quote, money is the root of all evil. Have you heard that? Yeah, we all know that's wrong, right? Money is the... Let's read and see what it says. Those who want to get rich, I'm going to read 9 and 10. It's really found in 10, but let's read 9 too. Those who want to get rich and fall into temptation, who want to get rich, fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. So here's the deal. This passage right here helps us understand God is not anti-money and God is not anti-wealth. God is anti-money and wealth worship. That previous passage also alludes to it. So Jesus says that you can't serve two masters. So in other words, you can't be devoted to this one and serve money. You have to make the choice. Am I going to worship God or am I going to worship my 401k? Am I going to worship God or am I going to worship this job security because I got a new contract this year? Am I going to worship God or am I going to worship the inheritance that I'm expecting one day? And so we have to deal with that. We have to come to the conclusion. God is not anti-money. He's not anti-wealth. He's just anti-money worship. He's anti-wealth worship. Paul gives us 3 points and 3 pitfalls in this. He says, if you want to get rich, watch out. Number one, because money will tempt us and it will lure us And it will cause us to begin to covet the wrong things. The second thing he says is that if we're not careful, we'll become entangled. Like an animal trapped in a snare. The third thing he says is if we're not careful, we'll be plunged into ruin and destruction. Now think about the words there. Plunge people into ruin and destruction. I mean, just if you can imagine, summertime's here, it's a pretty day. If you could just imagine cannonballing into the pool, plunging, that's what happens. Plunging into ruin, into destruction. Now, those are three kind of pitfalls that we need to watch out, but there's also a couple of positive things that he says there. Well, he doesn't say it, but number one, he doesn't condemn money. He condemns the love of money. It's the love. It's where is your heart? And he also doesn't say that all evil comes from the love of money, but all kinds of evil. There are other places that evil come from. Lust is one of them, right? Let me give you a not so obvious one. How about ambition? That can set us up. We're going to talk about how it does that in a minute. Materialism is the desire to possess things instead of the love of God who made those things. Materialism says this, I want things, I want things, I want things, I want things, instead of loving the God who created those things. Let's go back to the words of Jesus. Use your worldly resources. That translated in most of the other translations, NIV and others probably, or New King James, says unrighteous mammon. Unrighteous mammon. Use your unrighteous mammon to benefit others and make friends. Then win. That's why I had us all say that word, win. Then win. Your earthly possessions are gone. They will welcome you to an eternal home. For if you're faithful in the little things, everybody say faithful in little. Then you will be faithful in the large ones. But if you're dishonest in little things, you will be honest. You won't be honest with greater responsibilities. And if you're untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? If you're not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with the things of your own? No one can serve two masters. For you will either hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Just reading through that passage again, I want to give us some takeaways from Jesus. These are the things that we can learn. Number one, unrighteous mammon has a purpose. And he tells us, use your money and your other material things to win souls for Christ. Reach your friends with it. Win souls for the kingdom. You know, when I was praying over the offering, I was praying those words because I read those. One of the phrases that I prayed was a phrase that I read in that book that really has just stuck with me. God is the only one that can take money and turn it into souls. Isn't that awesome? God is the only one who can take money and turn it into souls. So, unrighteous mammon, it has a purpose. It has a redemptive purpose. The second thing, maybe you're sitting there thinking, well, Pastor Rick, this series on the blessed life and this series on finance, I appreciate you doing it. And I know, you know, that's something we should talk about. But frankly, I just don't have a whole lot of this mammon that you're talking about. Right? I don't have a whole lot of this money that you're talking about. It's not the amount that you have. It's what you do with what you have. Jesus said, if you're faithful in the little things, those things that seem minuscule or minute to you, if you'll be faithful with that, then that gives me something to work with. Faithfulness matters. Not the amount. No one can serve two masters, for you'll either hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You can only love one. The interesting thing in this passage is that Jesus is actually taking mammon or wealth and riches, and he's personifying it. See, the $50 I held up earlier, he's taking that $50 and he's saying, this is a person. In fact, it's so much of a person that you're either going to love God or you're going to love that. You're either going to despise one and love the other. Mammon is a master. And it wants to master your life. I love what Dave Ramsey, he talks about it. He said, you ever think about it? Master card? Think about it. Master card? You can only love one. It's possible to love mammon, but you can't love mammon and love God. It is possible to love God, but you can't love mammon and love God. Whichever one you love, you're going to hate the other. Second thing is you can only be devoted to one. That word devoted means cleave to. It means to be devoted to guard, clinging to it. Think about this. I'm practical discipleship 101 right here. What is your heart clinging to? When the month runs out before the money runs out, or the money runs out before the month runs out, that's the better way to say it. That's the right way I'm trying to say it. When the money runs out before the month runs out, who do we cling to? What do we cling to? What is our heart devoted to? Where is our heart tied? Is it clinging to the Father, trusting Him, trusting God that He's going to see us through? I remember early in our marriage, I talked about the place we lived in Elberton. What was our checking account down to when we got that check in the mail? And how much was the check? Okay. We were down, and we tithed. This was early in our marriage. We tithed, and we were down to, she remembers details, I don't. We were down to like $6 in our checking account. And 2 weeks to go. And we got a check in the mail from the IRS. They don't do that. $400. $450. Cling to God, folks. Just trust Him. The third thing is that you can only serve one. Serve means to be a slave. In other words, mammon is looking for followers. It's looking for worshipers. You know how Jesus said in John chapter 4, the woman at the well? The time is now. The Father is searching for those who worship Him in spirit and truth. Well, guess what? Mammon is also looking for those who will worship. Followers. People who will serve the spirit of mammon. The spirit of wealth. That spirit that says, God, you're secondary. Now let's talk about some friends. Mammon has a couple of friends. Mammon has two friends we're going to talk about. One of them is the spirit of poverty. Poverty says this. Poverty says, God has blessed me, but I feel so ashamed. Ashley, that's a really nice SUV you have that you drive. Oh, it's nothing. It's just, yeah. I probably should have bought something a little more ragged out and used my money for something else. That's subtle. If we're not careful, we'll miss it. Because what that is shame. See, some of us in this room, all of us in this room, let's just be honest, all of us are really abundantly blessed. And the enemy, the spirit of poverty, wants to work itself in to say, you should be ashamed for the way that God has blessed you. What? That's not God. The spirit of poverty creeps in and says, you should feel guilty because your business has grown. No. Here's the deal. If you're faithful, with the first. If you tithe and you walk in obedience to the leading of the Spirit when it comes to your possessions and finance, you will be blessed. Don't be ashamed of that. Don't take on that false humility, spirit of poverty mindset that says, well, I just, you know, it's just not me. It's just... And this spirit can affect the wealthy and the poor. It probably affects the wealthy more than it does the poor. Don't apologize. Don't apologize. Let me ask you a question. Do you apologize for salvation?
No.
So why would we apologize for the blessings of God?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Why? Do you get upset at the enemy when he tries to steal, kill, and destroy? Yeah. So why do we apologize when God is blessing? I have in all caps, which if you know email and text lingo, it means I'm shouting. But I'm not really shouting right now. But if you could hear me shout, I would shout, stop it. Stop it. Stop apologizing for God's blessing in your life. Understand. Shout it. Understand that the Father, when you respond with the first and the tithe and you're obedient in offerings as the Lord leads. There's no Rick in this. But when you do that, He blesses. And when He blesses, don't diminish His blessing with your apology. Don't minimize the hand of God at work in your life because He has blessed you. There's an opposite spirit also. It's the spirit of pride. This spirit says, I did this. Look at that. Doesn't that business look remarkable? 12% growth every year. Or it says, look at that home I built. I built that. I did that. Yep, me. Both of these spirits deal with the same thing, and that's that thing that they both deal with is stuff. The spirit of poverty says this, stuff comes from the devil. The spirit of pride says this, stuff comes from hard work. It's so subtle. Pull up next to... I got a friend of mine. I'm going to tell a personal story. I got a friend of mine that's selling a Mini Cooper. Y'all know what a Mini Cooper is? It's turbocharged, babe. I mean, turbocharged. It's a little two-door turbocharged Mini Cooper. I really want that Mini Cooper. I'm dealing with the spirit of mammon. I'm telling you. I want that Mini Cooper. But, so here's the deal. The other day, he drives up in the Mini Cooper, and there I am in my blue van, my blue minivan. Oh, my. I want that Mini Cooper. Y'all be quiet up here. I hear you talking. Just kidding. Here's the thing. The spirit of poverty is working on me because it says, I really want that. I wish I had that instead of this. It works this way also. I'm driving through Griffin in my minivan. A little bit of Lecrae going. Some of y'all know who that is. And I'm listening to Lecrae, and I see this old beat up, looks like it's not going to make it to the next red light kind of car pulling up beside me. And I sit there and I think, man, I'm glad I ain't driving that. What'd you say? Oh. And so I look over and I'm like, I'm glad I'm not driving that. And you know what creeps into me? Spirit of pride. Spirit of pride. It's a comparison thing, y'all. Spirit of pride, spirit of poverty, they're both comparison related. It's comparing what the Lord has done in my life in this present tense, in the present tense, to some kind of preferred future that I think I am entitled to or deserve. Or some kind of present tense that I think I'm entitled to or deserve. Look, both of these things, they deal with stuff. So here's the question. I know you got to be asking this. I'm going to wrap it up here. How do you deal with the stuff that you acquire in your life? Anybody asking that question? Just somebody put your hand up. Make me feel good. Awesome. Thank you. So how do you deal with the stuff that you acquire in life? How do you deal with it? How do you keep your heart in the right place? Well, I'm glad you asked it. I want you to, this is an old cliche preacher phrase, but you know it, but you got to live it. It's called an attitude of gratitude. Everybody say attitude of gratitude. Paul said this to the Ephesians in chapter 5, verse 5. He said, you can be sure. So in other words, you can count on it. You can bank on it, since we're doing a financial series, okay? You can bank on it that no immoral or impure or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. So how do you deal with it? When my brother drives up in the Mini Cooper, thank you, Lord. You've blessed me. Amen. How do I deal with it when somebody, a stranger, pulls up and my vehicle, my awesome minivan, pumping out Lecrae? How do I deal with that? Thank you, Lord. You've blessed me. In fact, that's what an attitude of gratitude is. Thank you, Lord, you've blessed me. It doesn't diminish the work of God, but it also doesn't glory in the work of self. Let me say that again. It does not diminish the work of God, but it doesn't glory in the work of self. It says, Lord, thank you. You are the one. You're my source. Coveting, we talked about that a minute ago. Coveting basically means setting your heart upon it. The 10th commandment deals with this. Coveting, setting your heart on something that belongs to another. Let me put a passage up that I read in this book, and I want to kind of break it apart for a minute. This is from a pastor, I think he pastors in Texas. His name is Jimmy Evans, and he writes this. It's in the book that I was reading. Mammon promises us those things that only God can give. That's just a good stopping point right there. It promises us security, significance, identity, independence, power, and freedom. Mammon tells us that it can insulate us from life's problems, and that money is the answer to every situation. Do you find it interesting, like me, that when Jesus came across people who needed healing or needed forgiveness, he didn't offer them money? Yeah. What do we need? What's the answer to life's problems? God. What do we broker in as a church? That's a terrible way to put it. The hope that comes in Christ.
Amen.
The life that comes in Christ. That's what we have to offer. Mammon tells us that it can insulate us, and that the situation that you're facing right now, all you need is more money. More money doesn't fix it. Because you get more money, and guess what else you get? That's right, more problems. Think about this. Think about that statement. Security. Mammon promises us things that only God can give. Mammon promises security. What, Rick? What happened when your 401k went down in 2008? Your security was threatened. What happens when the money runs out before the month runs out? Your security is threatened. My security is threatened. Significance. If I only live there instead of here, if I could only live in that subdivision, or if I could buy that house, then I would be secure. Only God can. Security, significance. Third one, identity. If I only owned that Mini Cooper, probably would not be a good thing. Turbocharged. Did I mention that? Those words just sound anointed coming off my lips. No, they don't. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Identity. Think about that. Spirit of Mammon comes to you and says, if you can get this, then your identity is complete. Only God can do that. Amen. Only God can complete your... He is your identity. That's why over and over in the New Testament you find this in Christ phrase. It's in Christ. That's who I am. Independence. Now this one's dangerous. You ever find yourself... You make this statement. Okay, I either need God to come through or I need more miracle. I need a miracle of money to happen. I either need God to come through or I need to win the lottery. If that's you, let's talk afterwards. But let me just tell you straight up. The problem with that phrase is you just gave yourself an alternate out for life. So what happens if you do win the lottery? God doesn't count anymore? I either need God to come through or I need to win the lottery or I need a good bonus this year. No, I need God. Independence. Mammon says that. He's trying to get you to stop trusting God and start believing that there's an alternative to God. The other one that he said is power. More money in people's mind begins to equal more influence or somehow that the problems are going away. And then the last one that he said is freedom. If I had more money, I could go anywhere I wanted to. I could do anything I wanted to. I could go to Hawaii and vacation. Mammon wants you to believe that. That is a lie. Only God can bring freedom. Only God can bring freedom. Money isn't the answer to the problems that you and I face. God is the answer. Let me wrap up. Karen, can you come play softly? I don't know why I always say that. Come play softly. Karen, come up here and play really loud. Sometimes I think about the things I say. How many times have I said y'all, Heidi? I don't think I said it all. How does Mammon operate? We're talking about breaking the spirit of Mammon off of our life. This whole series has been built and leading up to this moment. The principle of the first. The heart of the matter. Tithing is a test. Guys, there's a spirit that is prevalent in this world. And it wants to destroy us. And it's so abundantly clear in media. So abundantly clear. That's why there needs to be filters in our life. Guys, I want to talk to our youth for a minute. That's why we need filters. Because there's a world that's trying to make it look like if you could just get more stuff, you'll have it all together. And it's preached from the propaganda of video or news outlets or whatever, Twitter or Instagram. If you could just get more stuff, if you could just have this, then all of life's problems will be resolved. And that's the spirit of Mammon. Because what it does is it creates a lust. And the lust is for more. It's always more. I remember Andy Stanley preaching this in a message a few years ago. I've just never forgotten it. I think I maybe have said it here. He said, but appetites are never finally or fully satisfied. Appetites are never finally or fully satisfied. So when our appetite is, and this is Rick talking now, that was his statement. But when the appetite is oriented towards spirit of Mammon, It's never finally and it's never fully satisfied. There's always a lust for more. More wealth, more riches, more security. More wealth, more riches, more security. The spirit of mammon preaches that in our world today. The spirit of mammon wants us to believe either that, and it's two friends, either that we did it on our own or that we don't deserve it. The spirit of poverty and spirit of pride. The spirit of poverty says you don't deserve it. You should be ashamed for what you have. No, if God has blessed you, be grateful. Have an attitude of gratitude. Thank you, Lord. You've blessed me. The spirit of pride, you didn't work at it and make it happen. I've been preaching that since second or third month I was here. It was God who gave you that work in your hands. It was God who gave you that ability to construct or to do or deconstruct or build or that mind to think and apply, to analyze. It was God who put those things in you. The spirit of pride wants us to believe I did that. So how do you deal with it? Attitude of gratitude. Lord, thank you. Some of you are remarkable with your mind and your hands. You can do great things. I look at some of the work that goes on around here that, you know, some of you just put your heart into it and you volunteer time or labor. And you guys know, I mean, construction projects run away from me. Or at least my wife says, run away from the construction project. Yeah. And she doesn't, but she should. Home repairs. I can get light bulbs done. But some of you are incredibly blessed with the mind or the ability and the talent, the gifting to be able to do those things. But it's God. It's God. It's God who does that. So let me give you four things real quick, and I'm going to close with this. How do we know when the spirit of mammon operates? How do we know what it looks like? Number one, it hides. It hides behind money. Remember, money is powerless. It's neutral. But it hides. In hiding, it tries to get you to overvalue things in your heart. Number two, it lies. Spirit of mammon always tries to get you to believe that the answer is more money, more money, more money. It's not more money. Number three, it deceives. It deceives people into worshiping it. And then number four, it creates fear. And Ben didn't know this when he was leading worship, but he began to dispel that and address that directly in his, when he was being led by the Spirit of God, to say, we won't fear. The spirit of mammon creates fear. What is that fear? There won't be enough. There won't be enough. We won't make it. How are we going to make it? What's next? I want to ask you to stand with me.